Don't you know he come this far
again?
Oh, yes, we have. Don't you know we're trusting?
Trusting in His holy word.
'Cause my God has never,
He never failed me yet.
Welcome to the History of Christianity podcast with Daniel White the Thorn. My name is Sneaqua Grace White, and I am the fourth oldest daughter of Daniel White the Thorn. We are glad that you have joined us today as Daniel White the Thorn helps believers understand the basics of Christian history.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the History of Christianity podcast, episode number 126. When I became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ some 35 years ago, I somehow had the false idea that Christianity began when I got saved. I had no concept of the hundreds of years of history that Christianity had gone through since the time of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ some 2,000 years ago when He walked on this earth. I have found that many believers, young and old, have the same false idea. The purpose of this broadcast, of this podcast, is to dispel this notion by sharing with listeners the history of Christianity from the ministry of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ all the way up until the present day in an easy-to-understand format. You don't have to worry. This is not a lecture. This is a look at the basic facts and figures of Christian history that I believe every believer and every person needs to be aware of. Our History of Christianity scripture passage for today is Deuteronomy 17, chapter 17, verses 18 and 19, which reads, "And it shall be, when the king sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the Levites, and it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of this law and these statutes, to do them." Our History of Christianity quote today is from Athanasius of Alexandria. He said, "The self-revealing of the Word is in every dimension above, in creation below, in the incarnation, in the depth, in Hades, in the breath, throughout the world, all things have been filled with the knowledge of God." Today, beloved, in the history of Christianity, we are looking at Athanasius of Alexandria, part 2, the early years, from Dr. Justo L. Gonzalez's fine book, The Story of Christianity, volume 1. And I want to remind you to take advantage of our special offer. If you enjoy this podcast, please feel free to purchase a copy of the book that we are using, The Story of Christianity, Volume 1, by Dr. Justo L. Gonzalez. You really need to get both volumes. The book is available on our website for just $30. Even before the Arian controversy broke out, Athanasius had written two works against the Gentiles, meaning the pagans, and on the incarnation of the Word, which offered clues as to the nature of his theology. The speculations of Clement or of Origen are not to be found here. These works show the deep conviction that the central fact of Christian faith as well as of all human history, is the incarnation of God in Jesus Christ. The presence of God amidst humankind made human, that is, the heart of Christianity as Athanasius understood it. In a memorable passage, he speaks of the incarnation in terms of an imperial visit to a city. The emperor resides in one of the houses in the city. As a result, the particular house, as well as the entire town, receives special honor and protection. Bandits stay away from such a place. Likewise, the monarch of the universe has come to visit our human city, living in one of our houses, and thanks to such a presence, we are all protected from the attacks and wiles of the evil one. Now, by virtue of that visit from God in Jesus Christ, we are free to be what God intends us to be, that is, beings capable of living in communion with the divine. Clearly, the presence of God in history was the central element in the faith of Athanasius. Therefore, it is not surprising that he saw Arianism as a grave threat to the very heart of Christianity. What Arius taught was that the one who had come to us in Jesus Christ was not truly God, but a lesser being, a creature. Such a notion was unacceptable to Athanasius, as it also was to the monks who had withdrawn to the desert for the love of God incarnate, and to the faithful who gathered to participate in worship under Athanasius' leadership. For the monks and for many of the faithful, the Arian controversy was not a matter of theological subtleties with little or no relevance in it. The very core of the Christian message was at stake. When Alexander, the Bishop of Alexandria, was on his deathbed, all took for granted that he would be succeeded by Athanasius. But the young man, whose purpose was to live in peace, offering the sacraments and worshiping with the people, fled to the desert. It is said that shortly before he died, Alexander asked for his younger friend, probably in order to indicate that he wished him to be the next bishop of Alexandria. But Athanasius was still in hiding. Finally, several weeks after the death of Alexander, and against his own wishes, Athanasius was made bishop of Alexandria. The year was 328. The same year in which Constantine revoked the sentence banishing Arius, Arianism was regaining ground and the battle lines were being drawn. Next time, beloved, we will look at Athanasius of Alexandria, part 3, through many trials. Holy Father God, we thank you for this time together. Thank you for giving us the wisdom and the knowledge to look back to see from whence we have come, and help us to apply the positive things and reject the negative things so that we will be all that you want us to be. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and forsake. Amen. Now, dear friends, simply knowing the facts about Christian history without knowing the one on whom this faith is based will do you no good. If you do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, may I encourage you to get to know him today. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Simply believe in your heart that the Lord Jesus Christ died for your sins. He shed his blood for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can be a part of the church in this life, and in the life to come, live in heaven forever with God. Pray and ask him to come into your heart today to save your soul, and he will do so. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Until next time, my beloved, please remember that history is truly his story. God bless you. Don't you